Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Church of the Covenant. And we especially want to welcome our speaker this morning. Katie Todd joins us. And she corrected me. I thought she was minister at that church over there on the highway. She is the minister at Kirk across the street. So we're never too old to learn, are we? The reading this morning is from the Old Testament, book of Isaiah, chapter 60, 1 through 6. I'm reading from Peterson's translation. Get out of bed, Jerusalem. Wake up. Put your face in the sunlight. God's bright glory has risen for you. The whole earth is wrapped in darkness. All peoples sunk in deep darkness. But God rises on you. His sunrise glory breaks over you. Nations will come to your light. Kings to your sunburst brightness. Look up. Look around. Watch as they gather. Watch as they approach you. Your sons coming from great distances, your daughters carried by their nannies. When you see them coming, you'll smile. Big smiles. Your heart will swell and, yes, burst. All those people returning by sea for the reunion, a rich harvest of exiles gathered in from the nations. And then streams of camel caravans as far as the eye can see. Young camels of nomads in Midian and Ephah pouring in from the south, from Sheba, loaded with gold and frankincense, preaching the praises of God.
The song is written by Chris Sly. It's kind of he got into contemporary Christian music. So Chris Sly, that was on, I think, American Idol, is that right? I don't know. I think he was, you know. Anyway. It'll fill...
Stars go down in the western sky. The light fades in as the darkness dies. Sunlight, sweet sunlight, brings the day that you've created. Finds me running back to you. Darkness comes and covers all my faults. Tears fall down, stings my wounds like salt. Hopes fade till I'm caught. Rise, that finds me running back to you. I'm anxiously waiting. Redemption is brimming with stories created. Each new day I know you are coming. Arise, arise with the morning. Arise, your mercies are new. Arise, arise with the morning. That finds me running back to you. Running back to you.
I feel like we're in the middle of a Broadway play. And you know how you have this beautiful moment in a musical where you have this fantastic musical piece and then there's like this lull right after it? I'm sorry. I'm the lull right after that. Thank you. That was beautiful. Good morning. For some Christians, notably the Eastern Orthodox Church and churches in Latin America, the observance of January 6th follows a very rich tradition. Yes, today is the 7th, but we're going to pretend like it's the 6th. It's the day when gifts are exchanged among friends and family members in commemoration of the gifts that the wise men presented to baby Jesus. Let's see, are we both on? Let's see. There we go. Maybe I won't feed that now. Epiphany. It's one of my favorite seasons in the church. It is the 12th day after Christmas, thus January 6th. And it's a season of the church year all in its own, and it leads us from Christmas to Lent. Epiphany is a time when we celebrate a bright star shining in the night sky. It's also a time when we think about light, light illuminating even the darkest of spaces. And I love looking at it at the beginning of the year, because so often we get to the end of a year and we think, wow, we survived. So now we have this new hope moving into the new year. In our Isaiah passage today, the light of God dawns on the people in the midst of the world's darkness. The light that shines in these narratives that we have heard today and other light narratives, they don't reveal humanity and they don't expose our sin. They are lights. That are those stories are alluded to light elsewhere in Scripture, but here this light that we've talked about today reveals God, God leading among us, God making evident the manifold wisdom of our plan for salvation. Surprisingly, this light that's talked about in our passage today is not a desired light by the world, because it often exposes the evil that exists. If you looked at the lectionary, you would pair this scripture with the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, and it's the familiar story of a heavenly light that guides three wise men, or three wise ones, to the place where the Christ child laid. And then they encounter King Herod on their journey. And Herod pries them for information under the guise of also wanting to worship this newborn king. This would be a narrative of light that exposes humanity and reveals sin. According to Bishop Will Willimon, Christmas could be the most political time of the Christian year. Matthew doesn't give us a babe lying sweetly in a manger with adoring shepherds and singing angels. Instead, Matthew gives us a once powerful Herod trembling in his boots, cowering like a frightened rabbit, terrified by the thought of a bombshell baby. There's a new king in town who rules not from the Herod Tower in Jerusalem, but from a stable in the backwoods of Bethlehem, welcomed not by biblical scholars at the temple, but rather by immigrant non-believers from the east. What we have here for Epiphany is the story of an emperor who was threatened by an infant. And isn't that the way that it always goes? The old are always threatened by the new. This emperor is threatened so much that he demands the death of all male children under the age of 2. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? In his article from December 29th, entitled Today's Massacre of Innocents in Gaza and Israel, Matt Scher writes this, quote, over 8,800 children have been killed in Gaza, Israel, and in the West Bank since October. Let that sit for a moment. Almost 9,000 children in a little under 3 months, end quote. That was 10 days ago. The numbers have only increased. In fact, this morning, Reuters shared this. Quote, Israel's offensive has so far killed 22,835 Palestinians, according to Palestinian health officials on Sunday. Some 113 Palestinians were killed and 250 others were wounded in separate Israeli strikes on Gaza in the past 24 hours. End quote. Darkness, terror, a massacre of innocents, a world not too far distant from the one in which we live today, is the world that God chose for coming to be with us in the flesh, to show us the way. Scher continues saying, even today, though, we still experience multiple massacres of the innocents. Innocent children are still being killed in places like the Holy Land and Ukraine. Closer to home, the United States has an abysmal childbirth mortality rate for a country with our resources. Children die from lack of adequate health care. LGBTQ+ youth and trans youth especially live every day in danger of violence against them. They're denied the right to gender-affirming health care and die by suicide. Thousands of other children every year die by firearms, sometimes by another person and sometimes by suicide. Israel's hands are not clean, Hamas's hands are not clean, and our own hands are not clean either, especially those of us who profess to follow the Prince of Peace, who was so humbly born into a violent world to bring life and who ended up being a part of the problem instead. End quote. The Epiphany story continues with foreigners who arrive and they follow the star in the sky. They don't know where they are going, but they know what they hope to find. The very light that overpowers the darkness of Herod's oppression. And Herod trembles. I spent this week at the college conference at Montreat, just a couple of hours down the road, with nearly 1,000 students from across the nation who gathered to discuss the topic of necessary risks through worship, keynote speakers, and critical conversation groups. If you ever wonder about the future of our country, just spend a few days with college students, especially when they are not weighed down and preoccupied by the burdens of their course loads or their internship worries or those sorts of things. This week gave me hope. Lift up your eyes and look around. They shall gather together. They will come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Y'all, I heard young adults asking questions aloud in front of each other. Questions like, who has a right to comfort? Whose comfort needs to be protected? Whose comfort gets to be protected? And why is it that way? I also heard questions like, how do I begin? And how do I know if this discomfort I feel is because I need to take a risk? Or if it's a discomfort I feel because I need to just stay put. How do I know? Cole, author Riley, was one of the speakers for them this week, and She spoke words of deep truth and encouragement and challenge when she told the students and their adults that were there. She said, quote, "A passionless Christ cannot be trusted to save. What we worship, we become, and the world does not need more numbness." End quote. No more numbness. But how do we start? How do we switch course? As we navigate this year, this life, this world in which we are called to live, we are wayfinding. It's a practice of old that still guides us today. I spent a little bit of time in Australia and New Zealand and learned about the Maori culture wayfinding. It's a journey. It's a setting a course to a place that we don't know. But we do know when we wayfind that the oppressive powers, they tremble when we set out and when we choose to follow a path that leads to light. Like the Holy Family, like the Eastern visitors, when we follow stars, when we follow the currents, when we follow the winds, when we follow the Spirit, when we follow God's truth, we are wayfinding. We are sharing light. I think there's something incredibly powerful and encouraging in this image, an image of people following a path that God has lit for them, a path that leads them closer and closer to revelation, to God in the flesh, to God at work, to them being a part of that work. As star followers, explorers, wayfinders, we are on a course. The prophet Isaiah tells us that nations shall come to the light, and we are seeking to chart a course through this world, through this life, to the light, toward the light. It's not our course. We're just on it. It's God's course. When we feel we don't know the way, we don't. We admit it. We know exactly the way, though, because we trust the one who broke through the deepest darkness to offer us hope and light overpowering darkness eternally. One of my family's favorite Disney movies is Moana. Raise your hand if you've seen it. A couple of people. All right. We had the soundtrack on repeat for quite some time when the kids were younger. One of the anthems that we love is "We Know the Way." And the kids used to sing it often. And if you'll allow me, I'm not going to sing it for you, but I'm going to share some of the words from it. They're words of promise for those of us who are seeking the intimate heart of God, who came to dwell among us and bring light into our darkness. So hear now these words. We read the wind and the sky when the sun is high. We sail the length of the sea on the ocean breeze. At night we name every star. We know where we are. We know who we are, who we are. Away, away, we are explorers reading every sign. We tell the stories of our elders in a never-ending chain. Away, away. Today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive a star word gift. It's a small gift, a small guide to see us through the next 12 months. I use these with my college students when we do our visioning and our planning and our listening at the start of each new calendar year. At our first gathering in the spring semester, every year we take a moment to receive a star word, and we use it as a guide. We spend so much of our year making decisions that it's often a relief to let someone else lead us, even if it's for a brief moment. We as the students together, we are intentional to take time each January to remember that God is our current, God is the star in the sky, God is the wind in our sails, God is the light on our path, and God will see us through, challenging us and surprising us along the way. What is a star? It's a guiding light, a beacon of hope, a compass on a map. What is a gift? It's something that is freely given and willingly and freely taken. A gift can also be a natural talent or an ability. It can be an offering. Today, you will receive a star word gift. The star word is simply a yellow piece of vinyl with a word written on it. And if you are willing, that word becomes a word that will influence you and guide you and direct you and your actions over the next year. Put it on your mirror, put it on your door, put it on your refrigerator, put it on the dashboard of your car, somewhere that you are likely to see it every day. One author says of star words, quote, people allow these words to speak to them. They often start by looking the word up in the dictionary so that they are clear on its meaning. We hear the word grace all the time, but what exactly does it mean? A word that seemed unclear at the beginning may gain new meaning as the year goes on. Often the words seem very timely, as if they were indeed designed for the recipient. It is in this sense of serendipity and wondering how God might be working through this simple process to keep people engaged in God's work. End quote. I invite you to take a word, to think about it, to pray and discern how this word can become a part of you are, of who you are, or how this word challenges you. I've done this for years with my students, and I've had two students get the same word 2 years in a row. Maybe this word is a word that we need to get started. Maybe this is a word that we need to halt us. Maybe it's a word that makes us uncomfortable. Maybe it's a word that makes us too comfortable. What needs to be protected? What needs to be discarded? We all have been given the capacity to do amazing and remarkable things. One of those amazing and remarkable things is the gift of our minds to think and to consider. We have been given the capacity of choice by our Creator. We hear stories of the wise ones who deliberately chose to trick the emperor in order to save the child and hopefully save humanity. We too have the same capacity to make similar choices. I am a believer in the idea that there is order amid the seemingly random things that happen in the world. And as such, I believe that each of us receives what we need. Perhaps it's not the word that we want, but the one that we need to stretch us, to help us grow, to become more of who we need to be, to share light in the darkness, in this darkness that we call home. So before you depart the service today, if it's okay with you, Stephanie, I'm going to put them right here. There's a basket. Before you depart today, I invite you to come and take a word. Pick one from the basket. It's an offering and a gift to you. Help yourself to one star without looking. Just reach in and grab it, and then take it home. Place it where you are sure to see it daily, anywhere that invites you to reflect on the one word over the coming year, what significance this word might have in your life, and how your Creator might be speaking to you again anew through a simple message. This might seem like a trite practice, and you are welcome to not participate. That's your choice, and that is perfectly okay. As I prepare to be with you today, as I prepare to do this along with my college students again this year, as I have been challenged anew by words from Cole Arthur Riley and Reverend Teresa Cho this week, it has been my prayer that this practice would not seem trite, but rather a new challenge for a new year. And if nothing else, think of it as a yellow star to bring a little pop of color to a chilly winter day in another month, in another year, that starts with headlines that don't look so hopeful. Hezbollah fires rockets at northern Israel in response to killing of a Hamas leader. South Korea says the North has again fired artillery shells near their sea border. Nigel Lithgow departs So You Think You Can Dance amid sexual assault allegations. Three novel legal arguments by Republicans that threaten the Voting Rights Act in 2024. Supreme Court allows Idaho abortion ban to be enacted, first such ruling since Dobbs. Education Week analysis. Two school shootings this year that have resulted in injuries or death. It's January 7th, y'all. so much more, so much heavy. Epiphany is the celebration of God's presence breaking through to shine light into dark spaces. We celebrate it today and in the coming weeks. We need it today and in the coming weeks. During this time, we are on a journey of exploration into the knowledge of God, our Creator. We are on a journey of self-awareness. We are on a journey of expectation. We are on a journey of hope. We are on a journey to draw as close to the light as possible. Like the wise ones who came before us, the ones who saw a star in the sky and they recognized its divine appearance and they followed. They were seeking answers. They were seeking a king. They were seeking God incarnate with gifts in tow of their own. We too follow the wisps of light when we, for a moment's notice, recognize the divine in our midst. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Open your eyes and see. The glory of the Lord shines on each one of you and me. Receive your star word today, if you'd like, that it may be for you a guiding light and a guiding wisdom for this year. Receive, be challenged, listen, look, take risks. The world needs a little bit or a lot of bit of light. If you'll indulge me, would you pray with me? Radiant morning star, you are both guidance and mystery. Visit our rest with disturbing dreams and our journeys with strange companions. Grace us with the hospitality to open our hearts and homes to visitors filled with unfamiliar wisdom, bearing profound and unusual gifts. Break into our lives with your eternal light and teach us your ways that we may walk in your paths of light and truth. Amen. Thank you.
This is by Coldplay. Chris Martin wrote this. He he's British, and but he grew up. He has some Christian, childhood stuff. So he wrote this song. He's written some of the most beautiful stuff, but this is from his, his Christian background. It's called Broken.
It's time for our congregational prayer, and I know that you're accustomed to hearing Mark invite you to bow your heads. Well, I learned early in my experience here at Church of the Covenant, I was invited to not bow my head or bow my head. I was invited to look at the window, at the cross, at the table, at the pulpit. You look and lift up your prayer wherever you feel it's best for you. As I share these words to you from one of Mark's prayers in his book, the title of the prayer is On a Fuller Life. I have added some words. That's because the liturgist has that right. Good and gracious eternal essence, the creation which surrounds us is full of energy and potential, constantly blooming with new life and new opportunities. Plopped in the middle of this great creation, we humans too frequently find ourselves doing things and creating things which run counter to the life-giving energy of the world which surrounds us. We build weapons of mass destruction like Oppenheimer's atomic bomb. We thoughtlessly strip the world of its resources and beauty. We hoard up things that were never ours. Even worse, too frequently, we've become far too adept at stripping away the simple joys of life. The world allows life to be more about consumption, less about giving, more about competition and less about collaboration, more about judgment, self-righteous judgment, and less about gentleness, more about oppression and less about compassion, more about differences and less about common ground, more about taking life and less about sharing it. May we begin to see more clearly the value in all life. May we begin to share more abundantly, not just resources, but ourselves. May we begin to seek out and embrace those who struggle. And may we be open to the love, the care, the embrace of others who offer the same to us. Amen.
A little bit of hope as our charge for the afternoon, the morning. I had one planned, and then I realized that this is the perfect one for today. You may or may not have heard this. It comes from Howard Thurman. When the song of angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the king and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. Go in peace. Go in love, go in hope, and go spread the light of God wherever you go. Peace be with you.